Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite podcast, Leonard's Flick Fix. I'm your host, Leonard Cox, and on this podcast, I bring you those essential movie summaries packed with all the key plot points, character insights, cinematic details, and big moments. This is where you get the full story in a quick, easy format so you can stay in the loop with all the movie talk between your friends and family.
He summarizes his movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime.
So let's go ahead and dive into today's movie, Now You See Me, the 2013 mystery thriller directed by Louis Leterrier. Probably a little French in there. And as always, I'll read the IMDb description summary for you. An FBI agent and an Interpol detective track a team of illusionists who pull off bank heists during their performances and reward their audience with money. Money, money. And before I really get us into it, I really want to apologize to those fans. It's been quite a busy time for me, and I'm moving to New York City, so it's been kind of interesting, but right now I got a pretty janky setup here, so hopefully the quality isn't too bad, but I felt like I needed to get you guys a movie out there. So here we go, Now You See Me. I also want to mention that the score, Brian Tyler, does a really cool job. It's like a really very mysterious, very cool, like, very, very cool, like Mixolydian mode. Doesn't matter, we won't get into it. Anyways, we also have a couple main stars. We've got Jesse Eisenberg, the guy from Facebook. We've got James Franco's brother, Jack Franco, and we've got a couple other people that you would recognize. But anyways, okay, so we start off with Jesse Eisenberg's character, Daniel Atlas. He's doing this magic trick show in front of a huge crowd, and it's like the classic, like, I'm going to flip through the deck, you tell me when to stop, I'll do it again, and what card comes to mind? So then he folds the cards, and then she's like, wait, my card isn't in the deck. So he's like, yeah, as I told you, you're looking too closely. And he throws the deck of cards, and then on the top of the building, seven of diamonds is at the top of the building, which is probably her card. It was my card as well. So we open up with just kind of a generic magic trick. Clearly, you know, this Daniel Atlas is pretty good with cards and generic magic. Then we go to this guy named Magic McKinney. He was in Zombieland. He was in a couple other things as well. And he is some kind of, what would you say it, mind reader, if you will. He kind of hypnotizes people. So we cut to him, and he's doing this trick on this husband and wife where he's got the wife, like, is not able to talk or move. So then he goes over to the husband, and he starts, like, kind of reading the husband's face, and he's talking. He's like, I'm seeing you're on a beach in some glasses. And the husband kind of looks a little off. He's like, it was a business trip. He's like, I'm sure it was. And I'm getting Janet. So then he looks to the wife, who can't talk or move, and he goes, who's Janet? And she goes, my sister, because she can't talk, so she says it weird. So he's like, to the husband, you weren't away on business, you were away on Janet. So it looks like he's just kind of scamming him. So he pretty much says, you want this to go away? And the husband's like, yeah, I want it to go away. He says, pull out your wallet. So McKinney is essentially a con artist, clearly. He's just like shaking down people, whatever. So he takes $250 out of the dude's wallet, and then using his, you know, powers, if you will, I don't know if it's really powers, but he's like, sleep. When I snap my fingers, you're going to forget everything you talked about, blah, 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 blah. And every time you think of Janet, he looks back to the husband, you're going to think of me, papa, naked. And then it's not a pretty sight. And then the husband's like kind of freaked out. And then the wife wakes up and she's like, oh, darn, it didn't work, blah, 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 blah. So there's Magic McKinney. Then we move on to this guy, Jack Wilder. Jack Wilder, he gets on this ferry boat and he's like, everyone, can I have your attention, please? I have this ordinary spoon from Mel's Deli from Brooklyn, and I'm going to bend this with my mind. Anyone who figures out the trick, I'll pay them $100. So he starts bending the spoon with his mind. It's a pretty cool magic trick. The spoon's bending, and like, damn, how's he doing that? Everyone's like, whoa, no way, that's sick. And then all of a sudden, this one guy from the crowd comes over and like pulls like a fake spoon out of his back pocket, whatever. And he's like, dude, I want my $100. So Jack Wilder's like, you have a very good eye, sir. And he's like all sad about it or whatever. And then he like leaves the boat. And then all of a sudden, the guy who discovered the trick, he's missing his wallet and his watch. So Jack Wilder is a pickpocket. He's like crazy good at pickpocketing. So clearly he wanted to be found out, but he wasn't. Anyways, then we move on to our fourth magician, if you will, this chick. She's like appears to be super mega handcuffed, and she's like hovering over this thing of water. She gets thrown into a thing of water, like mega handcuffed in this crazy suit. And then she starts untying herself, and then it looks like it starts going wrong. She starts like drowning under the water because something's stuck. And above her is a big pile of piranhas that'll be dropped into her water. And all of a sudden the piranhas get dropped into the water while she's like drowning. So it looks like it's going wrong. She's like freaking out. There's blood everywhere. Everyone's freaking out in the crowd. And then all of a sudden you hear from the far distance, what sadistic person would do something like that? And it turns out it's the magician. She pulled off a crazy trick, whatever. So then we get back to Daniel Atlas, the first guy, the like kind of lead guy. And he's taken home a lady of the night, if you will, or someone who's interested in his magic. And then all of a sudden they're making out, and then he sees like this weird card, like a really weird, mysterious card that has like an eye on it. It says meet at this location, whatever, whatever. And so he kicks the girl out, and he's like interested about this. And then we cut to Jack Wilder, who also has this another weird card in his pocket. So someone's been watching them, clearly. And so all of the magicians that we just talked about have this weird card. So next morning, they all end up meeting at the location. So it turns out that they all got these weird cards, and they were all told to meet at this location. So they're all kind of like, you know, doing their magic on each other, and they're like, all hate each other and whatever. They don't really know each other very well, but they're all pretentious and solo acts, so whatever, whatever. So then they're all just talking outside this door that's locked, and then Jack Wilder comes in. He's like, whoa, J. Daniel Atlas, I'm your biggest fan, blah, 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 blah. I know all your stuff. And then he's like, so why are we all standing outside? And then they're like, the door's locked. So then he looks at them. He's like, oh, no, nothing's ever locked around me. So he pickpocks the lock. They kind of look around. And then they see this weird elaborate setup start happening, like this dry ice starts happening, and these like blueprints start teleporting, and like there's all sorts of crazy weird magic going on, and they're all like, what the hell is going on? So apparently they're getting summoned by a higher being, if you will, called like the Eye. So a year later, it flashes to a year later, they're in Vegas, and they're called the Four Horsemen, and they're doing this really cool act on like on a huge stage in Vegas. So they just did a bunch of cool magic shows, and then we actually get to see Morgan Freeman comes into play. He's also in this movie. Morgan Freeman is recording, which is illegal. He does some sly tricks and maneuvers to record the show, so he's doing some sly stuff there. So then this act comes in. He's like, you know what? We're going to do something crazy never done before. We're going to rob a bank, okay, for our act. So we're going to pick a random seat at a random selection, blah, blah, blah. So it's BN13, row BN13. Come on up. So it's this French dude who comes up out of nowhere. No one knows who he is. He's a random dude. And they bring him up on stage, and they put this teleportation helmet on him or whatever. Yes. And so then he gets in this on stage with the teleportation helmet, and the teleportation device is on the stage. Obviously, none of that's real or whatever. And they end up making him think that he's been teleported to Paris with in a bank vault with real money. And so he's like, whoa, this is real. And they're all seeing it in Vegas on a screen. And so they end up suctioning all of the money out of the Paris vault, and they somehow teleport the money into the Vegas stage, and it's just raining money all over the place. So first act is they're just showering their audience with money. So then we cut to the FBI. They're like, whoa, hold on, the bank's actually been robbed. We have to go question these people. So the FBI takes them into the, you know, office and starts interrogating them kind of situation. And then we get introduced to Dylan, the lead agent investigator, Dylan, and then this Interpol lady, Alma, her name is. She's like, everyone in the States is like, are you kidding me? We got to deal with Interpol now. And Alma's like, well, deal with it, because this is what it is. So then they start interrogating the French guy who technically robbed the bank, who they teleported, and he's a dead end, and because he truly believes that he was teleported into the bank vault. And so as they're interrogating him, Dylan, the lead agent, he's like, this is bullshit. And then like the cinematography goes like, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And then it zooms into the French guy and it activates him. And he just starts standing up on the table and he just starts playing the violin. So McKinney, Magic McKinney, Merritt McKinney, must have activated some kind of trigger word where if you say bullshit, half the audience just like starts playing the violin like through the entire concerto and you can't stop it. So then Dylan starts investigating all of the actual horsemen, the four horsemen. He goes through each one of them. Magic McKinney does his mind reading thing on all of them. And, you know, he can tell that the Interpol lady doesn't know much, but, you know, there's some kind of sexual chemistry between the two. And then the agent, Dylan, starts interrogating Daniel Atlas. And Daniel Atlas is like a pretentious, smug, like, guy, super smug. And so Dylan's like, the agent is like, at the moment you show a facade, a crack in your facade, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be on you like white on rice. I'm going to be super tight. And then Daniel Atlas is like, I want you to get close, get as close as you can, because the closer you are, the farther you are away from whatever I want you to be kind of situation or whatever. So then, you know, he does some magic and uncuffs himself, you know, just like simple street magic, whatever. And then he also pretty much mentions like, and you wouldn't arrest us, because that means at a base level, the FBI would believe in magic. And obviously that'd be a shit show for you guys and it would be a great thing for us. So you're not going to arrest us, so let us go. So they kind of have to let him go. And, you know, so they go away. And then Morgan Freeman's character comes back into play. And he gets a phone call from, like, the FBI, and they end up teaming up because, like I said, that Morgan Freeman character, he was filming the whole thing, right? So the FBI wants to know what's, you know, why are you doing this? What's his motive? All this stuff like that. So essentially, Morgan Freeman's character just walks the FBI through what magic is at the base level. Like, he knows everything there is to know because clearly he was a magician at some point. But there was some kind of history he had with, you know, magicians. When he first started doing stuff, he would debunk magicians. And this guy, Lionel Shrike, was his first victim, if you will. And apparently he pushed him too far to the point where Lionel Shrike did a trick at the bottom of a river that ended up, he ended up dying because he wasn't prepared. He was ill-prepared. So he just kind of got pushed. So anyways, that comes up later in the movie. But Morgan Freeman takes them back to the Vegas stage when everyone's gone and shows them how they did the trick. It was a fake vault at the bottom of the bottom of the stage. So then the FBI's like, great, there's a fake vault. It was all fake there. But how did they actually rob the bank? And so, you know, he says, well, I'm sure they robbed the bank much earlier and, you know, that money was already stored up in the vents ready to go. And then, you know, Dylan, the agent's like, well, then they picked the random seat with the random guy in the random parish, whatever. And then Morgan Freeman's like, nothing's ever random when it comes to magic. They had already pre-selected that seat. They did whatever they needed to do. They robbed the bank successfully. They picked the right seat successfully. They hypnotized the guy to make him believe that he was robbing a bank, blah, 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 blah. So then there's act one debunked, but that's okay. So then we realize the four horsemen are like really big, like they're becoming really big. Obviously they're giving their audience, you know, money and all this, whatever. So then we have flights to New Orleans. So New Orleans is the next stage, if you will, of their next performance. So they're both of our sides are the FBI and then the Four Horsemen. They're both flying right now. The Four Horsemen are funded by this guy who plays Alfred in Batman. So let's just address him as Alfred, I guess, if you will. Alfred is funding these guys and all their stuff. He's like an insurance CEO, really, really wealthy. Like multi-million, probably hundreds of millionaire, whatever the heck. So they start interrogating Alfred a little bit just for fun to see if they could read his mind. But they can't. It was, didn't work. So then on the flight with the FBI agents, they just kind of get to know each other a little bit more and realize that, you know, there might be more to magic than they think. There might be, you know, something to it. They're doing something for the people. They're not keeping any money for themselves. So it's kind of interesting on how that's working. So then they're in New Orleans trying to figure out, you know, the next act and how everything works. They're getting the FBI is getting situated with trackers on the workers and trackers on Atlas, because Atlas is the head guy of the Four Horsemen. He's a neat freak, apparently, and he tracks all of his people. Now, we know as an audience member that everything the Four Horsemen are doing, like they say, is like two steps ahead of everything. So they probably wanted to be tracked, it looks like. Anyways, we start seeing Morgan Freeman's doing his video thing to debunk stuff. He starts talking about the eye, like the eye, it's called. The eye is like the center of magicians back in the Pharaoh days, where they would use illusions to steal food from the wealthy and give it to the slaves. So he's thinking that these people are going after like the eye situation, where they're stealing money from the wealthy and then giving it to the less fortunate, the slaves, if you will, of those days. So then his video gets interrupted by Alfred, who walks in and says, "You stand to make, what, like $2 million from your DVDs from debunking these Four Horsemen? I have in my hand a check for $3.5 million for you to walk away, fly away in my jet, in fact." So Alfred's trying to bribe Morgan Freeman's character to stop trying to debunk the Four Horsemen, because obviously Alfred's getting rich as hell. And then Morgan Freeman's like, you know what? Your whole point of life right now is to ride the Four Horsemen up, and my whole point of life right now is to ride them down. So I'm going to decline. And Alfred like threatens him. He's making a bad decision. I'm wealthier than you. I have better lawyers than you. I will destroy you. Morgan Freeman doesn't seem to be, you know, put off by this. Anyways, then we get into the stage where the Four Horsemen start their second act. They say in the second act that they're pretty much going to do a bunch of basic tricks, you know, simple stuff that you'll have to remember for the future acts and the future use of stuff. So we see, you know, disappearing bunny in the hat with like a mirror, you know, so that way it looks empty, but there's actually a bunny. You've got card tricks. You've got Magic McKinney does, he pulls 12 people up on stage, random people, and he hypnotizes them to attack as if there was a quarterback and you were the defensive lineman. If someone yells the word freeze, you go like rip them to shreds, pretty much. So it's just kind of like a montage of them doing really cool, like cool magic. But like, I mean, simple, common magic. So then Magic McKinney, he asks a few people in the crowd to stand up and read their bank statements out loud, because he had them write down their bank statements beforehand. So one chick has like $562 in their bank account. One chick's got $1,000. One chick's got $6,500, whatever. And so then he asks everyone to stand up and hold their envelope to their head. And he's thinking, you know what? All of you guys wrote down the wrong numbers. That's weird. So then they're like, you know what? Art, come on down here. Art is Alfred, the rich benefactor, if you will. So they pull Art down and they write him his envelope. So they show the audience how much money Alfred has, and it's $144 million. So then the crowd's like, okay, this is crazy. And Alfred's kind of getting pissed. But so they use heat to change the numbers on the check. And all of a sudden, Alfred just lost like $20,000 or $75,000. And then And then Magic McKinney's like, hey, you chick, check your balance right now. And in her phone balance, I mean, in her bank balance, it was $75,562. So it sounds like Alfred was losing money while everyone else was gaining money. So then Magic McKinney is like, everybody, check your bank accounts. Look at what just happened. And you just see all of Alfred's money just like disappearing. And the whole crowd just got super rowdy and crazy because they all noticed that they had like $1 million in their bank account, pretty much. Not a million, like 80,000 or whatever. So then the FBI is like, holy shit, they just robbed him. We got to go attack. So as Dylan, the lead agent, is running after him, he's like, freeze, FBI. And then, of course, they had that plan. So all the people who were hypnotized about the word freeze go attack the lead agent and they escape. The four horsemen escape the building and everyone looks hysterical. And Alfred is like, did I just get robbed blind? So then they're trying to chase him through the alleys in New Orleans because they had those trackers, right, I mentioned. So they're running around and the TV does a really good job of like making it look like they're really close to each other. Blah, blah, blah. It's a long chase scene. The Interpol lady actually doesn't follow the rules a little bit. And she goes off and almost catches Daniel Atlas, but doesn't shoot him because he has no gun. And Daniel Atlas knows this. So it turns out, long story short, that they had put a tracker in Dylan's jacket pocket. So he was tracking himself the whole time, making it look like he was really close to Daniel Atlas, but they weren't even remotely close to each other. So Dylan's super drunk at the bar and the Interpol lady is like, you got to find your way home because you're being a jackass and whatever. And then we see Morgan Freeman get pulled by some security guards and then he gets pulled to talk to Alfred again. So it's kind of coincidence. Alfred blackmails him, but now Alfred summons him. He says, what are you so part of the Four Horsemen, blah, 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 blah. And now all of a sudden they have the same motives, right? You have two rich dudes who have the same motives. So Alfred says, I'll pay you double what you stand to gain if you can catch these guys. So he like pays Morgan Freeman like $10 million, gives him all the equipment he can so he can take the Four Horsemen for him, essentially. The Interpol lady, it's the next day now. The Interpol lady and Dylan, the lead agent, they make up. They're like kind of flirty with each other. And then we realize that there's a bug in Dylan's phone. Atlas, when they were in jail together, grabbed it in one of the magic tricks or whatever and grabbed his real phone or whatever. So they think that they have the advantage now because they noticed the bug, but obviously you are aware that the Four Horsemen know that. Okay, so that ends up getting Interpol and FBI to summon to New York because of the tracking of the phone, blah, 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 blah. So then we have this huge elaborate like car chase scene because the three horsemen, so the woman, Magic McKinney and Daniel Atlas, they escape without being seen, but they leave Jack Wilder to burn all the evidence. So Jack is behind and has to like face these guys throwing cards around. It's like a big fight scene. He uses magic to escape, blah, 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 blah. So Dylan chases Jack Wilder through the streets. Now we're into the cars and the vehicles and stuff. And we get to the point where Jack is on this bridge, music's getting really tense, and we see his car flip, like the helicopter's videoing it, everyone sees it, the car flips and it catches on fire. Dylan runs in, the agent, runs into the car to try to save him, but he's stuck, but notices that there's a piece of paper that he was holding that he was trying to save. The car explodes, Jack appears to be dead, and Dylan has nothing to see for it other than this piece of paper. Turns out the piece of paper was very valuable because it's a really big lead on their next play. Their next play was on this bank safe or whatever. And as they're discovering this, the FBI agent, Dylan's boss, like pulls him essentially. He's like, dude, you suck at this. You were like low-key fired, but not fired. You're just demoted and we're putting someone else in charge. So the new guy that's in charge is like, Dylan, you suck at this. I'm taking over. And we're going to go make sure this safe is secure. Also, meanwhile, there's this soft counter plot, if you will, between the Interpol lady and Dylan Rhodes, where there's this sexual tension, but there's also this question of, like, who is leading the four horsemen? And so Dylan, in the back of his mind, thinks that the Interpol lady, who just happened to be selected, you know, just by chance, quote unquote, whatever, that she just happened to be put on this case, blah, blah, blah. So Dylan softly suspects that she might be like a fifth horseman. That's, you know, kind of being cheeky with it. Anyways, so then the FBI agents, the SWAT teams, whatever, they run down to the safe room and they see that it's completely empty. So the new FBI lead guy, don't even know his name, is like, what the hell is going on here? He's freaking out. This is bullshit. Here's the bullshit word again. They trigger the word bullshit. So the lead boss was hypnotized at some point somehow and starts playing the concerto, meaning that the four horsemen are just already inside these guys' heads going crazy. So they end up catching up to the safe that had been stolen. They figured had been stolen. They end up catching up to it. So the new FBI agent's like, all right, they don't know that we caught the safe. We're just going to follow the safe all the way home so we have proof and we can grab these guys. So wherever this safe is going, we're following it. Okay. So they've got this thing like totally filled out. And then the four horsemen release a video talking about how sad they are about Jack Wilder's death. There's just three left, but we have to continue because it's bigger than us, blah, 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 blah. We're going to Five Points, Queens. Meet us there at 11 o'clock. Turns out the safe was supposed to go to Five Points, Queens. So clearly they're on the right path. So they're kind of, you know, watching out on this safe. They are scouting it out, and then someone over the intercom says, there's a girl approaching the bank vault. So Dylan's like, holy shit, it's the Interpol lady. Anyways, it's not the Interpol lady. It's some random chick who works for Morgan Freeman. So now Dylan's thinking, ah, Morgan Freeman's character, he was the fifth horseman. That's the only explanation. Why else would he be here? Morgan Freeman's like, ah, we both got played for fools, Dylan. Because this is where my first show happened with Lionel Shrike. So I was coming to just check this out. And then Dylan is like, oh yeah, no way, you're under arrest. So then Morgan Freeman's like, all right, this will be good for our tapes. Go ahead and open the safe. And of course the safe has like the clown bandana endless string thing. And it's obviously a trick and it's full of balloons. Bing, bop, there, you know, four horsemen got this on prank. So then as the FBIs are distracted, the show starts on the top of this building in Queens. It's like a big light show, like a crazy big light show. It's like an illusion. So then they're just talking about, like, the three horsemen that are left are talking about the importance of, you know, the eye and their magic and how money needs to get back to the people and they appreciate all the fans, blah, 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 blah. So then the FBI keeps following the string of, like, illusions that, you know, they're just dumber than rocks, really, in this movie. They're so stupid. It's crazy. Anyways, so then McKinney and Atlas and Henley, the girl, all the three horsemen that are left, are like, what are we going to do after this? Like, we've just been following this random thing, guy, whoever it is, for a year and a half now, and whatever. It's like a goodbye sequence, blah, 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 blah. Who knows what's going to happen next? So anyways, the FBI thinks they're really close, but as always, they're not even close. So the three horsemen that are left take a leap off of the building, and they turn into cash, and there's cash just flying all over the place. So it must have been the cash from the bank that they had originally, they must have stolen the bank safe somehow. We don't know how, but it turns out it's not real cash. We see the money and it's just fake money. So then everyone's wondering, well, where's the real cash? So the money was actually put into Morgan Freeman's car. So they were, the four horsemen set up Morgan Freeman, and we don't know why, other than he's been trying to debunk them. So that one didn't really make a whole lot of sense. So I'll tell you more about why that makes sense. Anyways, the three horsemen escape, and then Dylan goes to visit the fifth horseman of Morgan Freeman, in his eyes, in jail. So then Morgan Freeman's like, I've been set up, and this is whatever, you know, I've had time to think behind bars. Here's how they did it. So Morgan Freeman thinks, remember that magic bunny trick where the bunny disappears with the mirror? He believes that they put a large-ass mirror in the big safe room to make it appear like the safe was gone, and then made a fake safe for you guys to follow, but the safe was never stolen yet. It was just hidden. So then he was like, I bet you Jack Wilder wasn't even dead, and I bet you while they were setting up, Jack Wilder went in and robbed the bank. And turns out that this is true. We end up seeing the fourth horseman, Jack Wilder, reunite with the three people later at this like weird park. Turns out that they put a cadaver and did some illusions. They had really thought this out. The car crash was like really well thought out and made it really look like it was Jack's death. But yes, he is alive and it was not him in the car. So then Dylan's like, why go through all of this just to set up you, Morgan Freeman? Like, why would they do all this just to put you in jail? And then he's like, I don't know. This is the thing. I don't understand. I'm not sure. So then Dylan starts talking differently. And he's like, I got the chance to look more into Lionel Shrike, who is like this, that guy that, you know, Morgan Freeman kind of killed, essentially. Lionel Shrike was a classic magician who'd done all sorts of really cool stuff. Anyways, while Dylan's talking to Morgan Freeman, we have the four horsemen unite and like kind of uncover some secrets at Lionel Shrike's burial site, and they activate this like secret carousel thing, if you will, because they're trying to just find who the eye people are or whatever. Anyways, so Dylan's explaining to Morgan Freeman that Lionel Shrike, you know, he was killed by this cheap metal through this company that the four horsemen robbed, that the insurance company didn't give the Shrike family anything, which the four horsemen robbed, and the person that put Lionel Shrike in that box was Morgan Freeman. So then Morgan Freeman's like, wait a minute, why do you know all this? And then there's this big disappear where Morgan Freeman's like completely alone all of a sudden. Turns out Dylan Rhodes, the agent, was the fifth horseman and the son of Lionel Shrike, who died. So he was just spending like years and years and years and years, apparently, like just trying to get revenge on Morgan Freeman, essentially. So Morgan Freeman's in jail, and Dylan meets the four horsemen at the park, and the four horsemen are blown away. Like, no way. You're the fifth horseman. Like, that's crazy. Like, this is the eye. This is crazy. Blah, 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 blah. So everyone's amazed. And they all end up, you know, hopping into, like, this secret carousel thing and going to the eye. And then the closure with the Interpol lady and Dylan was that Dylan ended up finding her in France and kind of explaining to her why he did what he did. And he's explaining it to her because he always believed that she really just wanted to know the truth before like arresting anyone, so she wouldn't even arrest him, kind of thing. And because they had like this weird love hate relationship. Anyways, we end with them locking away that secret in France, and we get prepped and ready to go for Now You See Me Too. And we, you know, obviously learned that he just had this big revenge story. But anyways, there's the movie as fast as I could. Tried to keep these shorter for you guys. And hopefully the quality was all right. Now You See Me was, I would give it a 6 out of 10, maybe a 6.5 out of 10. It actually got 7.5 IMDb on 7.5 stars on IMDb. The thing is, it just felt a little cheesy. Like, it's really hard to control every detail like that. And there were certain situations that was like, oh, I don't know, man. That didn't feel great. Because like the eye is supposed to be all this great thing where they steal all this money from the large corporations and then give it to the poor. But this whole thing was actually just because Dylan Rhodes, who's AKA Shrike Jr., just wanted revenge on a few people. So it wasn't actually the eye, but it is. So it was kind of confusing a little bit on that. And I'm sure me describing this over the podcast probably does not do any part of this justice because it's all about illusions. So you kind of have to watch it anyways. But I feel like I needed to, I owed you guys something. So hopefully you enjoy the rest of your days. I'll be in New York set, ready to go, hopefully by August 1st, like studio ready to go. I plan on doing podcasts constantly. I'm doing voice narration now. So the quality will get better and more frequent. So thanks for listening, everybody, and enjoy your days alive with magic in the world. Yeah.
He summarizes his movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime.